star. Jesus. Oh, that's what we're going to be able to sing and enjoy through all eternity.
Yes.
Oh, and you won't, I guarantee you won't get bored.
No,
it's going to be a great time, and I'm going to start now. I'm not going to wait till eternity. Well, let's go ahead and receive the offering. Brother Fed, you're always so good to help me. Thank you, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's a Bible verse that says, He, God, who did not spare His own Son. Now, I have a son, and I love all of you, but I am not certain I would sacrifice my son for you. My son's important to me. He's a good boy. He's a nice boy, and he's no longer a boy. He's a man. He's 33. I said, Josh, do you realize you're the same age? When he had his birthday in September. I said, Josh, do you realize you're the same age that Jesus was when he was crucified? I want to give him some perspective. You think you're just starting your life, or you're in the middle of your life, or whatever we think. He's got a wife and children. And that's the age Jesus died. And he died because God gave his own son. That's reason enough to give in the offering. But then he turns around and says, if you'll give, I'll give back to you. I'll press it down. I'll shake it together. No air in it. No fluff. I'm giving you my best. And every day he's giving to us. Let's just lift that to the Lord. And Father, we want to worship you for giving Jesus. And Jesus, we praise you for dying. We worship you. We thank you that you went through with it. The whole thing, the beating, the insults, all of the people turning against you, even your own disciples turning against you, running away. You went through it. You went through the crucifixion. You went through the blood. You went through the suffering. You went through the taunts. You went through the people who said they knew God were against you, Jesus. And you died. And you went into the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, and you won the victory. You came out with the keys of death and hell. We thank you, Jesus. You came out victorious, and you're alive today. We worship a living Savior, a living Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now, Lord, I thank you that not only that, you promised to give to us, so we receive 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold. We receive from you today all that you plan to give us because we are your children. Now worship the Father with this offering. Worship the Father. Tell him how much we love him. Tell him how much we appreciate him and how thankful we are to be his children. Worship the Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
You need anything else? Okay, thank you. I'm glad you're here. Amen. It's fun to be in the presence of God. I mean, presence of the Holy Spirit, because He loves us so much and wants us to gather us in His arms and give us good things, protect us, teach us good things. It's good. Go to Proverbs. Now, we discussed this verse a couple of weeks ago, but I want to go back through it again, and what the Lord is showing me, His people have got to realize that, this is what he says, John, my people have got to realize they are in my image and my likeness. And they heard so many things contrary to that and don't realize that it's against what I desire and plan for their lives. And so he gave me this lesson to emphasize that God gave our tongues power, and that's not a choice we get to choose. We only get to choose the words we speak. in the attitude in which we speak those words. Uh-huh. Amen. We can speak words of God, words of a Christian, words of a family member of the Most High God, or we can choose to talk like the world will, the curse, the everything's wrong, or we can speak about how God has blessed us, how God saved us from eternal death in eternal separation from Him. Amen? So this is what He pointed out to point to you this morning. It is death and life are in the power of the tongue. So first you have to accept the fact that God gave you power in your tongues. Now, I have not realized this. I have been preaching this from this scripture probably 20, 25 years. But He said right here, we'll eat the fruit. And being from the farm, fruit is the harvest. You work all year, you plow the ground, you till the ground, you fertilize and plant your seed, and you sometimes, depending on the crop that you have planted, you have to cultivate and hoe and everything. And then the crop produces a fruit, a harvest. So He pointed out to me, see, we'll eat the fruit of it, of what the tongue has brought back to you. And He said, John, even you don't realize when you speak, you send your words out and they bring back to you what they have sown. Because words are seeds, they go out and then they come bring back. So I did not have in my thinking, my words are sent by me because I speak them. They go out there and bring back. And see, this morning you said, I'm going to go to church this morning. I mean, and you got ready and you came with your smile and you came happy because you knew God was going to show you something, right? So your thoughts are created from images. And let me show you what I mean by that. Now, you see, I got this device right here. Can everybody see that all right? It's too small. What is it? It's a knife, that's correct, it's a knife. How many of you, when you saw the red first? Right? See how we're different? Same thing, but we all see it different, right? Because of who God made us. Our gifts make us see things differently. And we don't need to, like denominations. I don't make fun of them because they see things differently than me. Uh-huh. Because what I am called to do, what Elizabeth has called to do, we have been given different gifts and we magnify different things to you. I mean, that's why I encourage you to get good books of teachings and good other ministers and listen to them. Because we don't feed you everything. We try, but we don't. So we believe that God's going to guide you to the right place so you hear the word. And you see, we believe you're preparing to be somebody God made you. God planned you before the foundation of the world. And see, that all comes to pass by the power that's in your tongue. And what I mean by that, you became born again when you believed that Christ came down from heaven and the Word took upon Himself flesh and dwelt with us. Then He was crucified and buried. He died. He went to the belly of earth and bore our judgment, and God raised Him from the dead. Now, we believe that, but that's not enough. We had to what? Confess Jesus as Lord. And when we confess Him, that power that we had on our tongue was in the gospel. So God's word transferred that power and transferred that life into our spirit. And when we spoke it, we became born again, a new creation. And some people have trouble with that because they have not realized I am made in the image of God and I am in His likeness. So how he does things, I have to realize and have to learn, because I'm just a baby. I'm a baby in his kingdom. And so I learned how to operate those spiritual gifts. And it was so wonderful. I didn't know anything. And the greatest thing that could ever happen to me in eternity, it was being born a child of the living God. Your words bring back to you. Now, somebody say, well, I say things and I get worse. You got to realize you have an enemy that's always trying to put something in the middle of your life. Satan. He's always trying to mess your life up. So we have to do two things. We have to believe the things that God said and desires us to be and wants us to be. And also, we got to be a soldier in the kingdom and protect our lives from our enemy. We have to put on the whole armor of God. For the word of God is what? Living and powerful. I mean, when you look at your Bible, see that word as living, and that word is powerful. And if I put that word in my heart, it brings the very life of God into my spirit and brings his power into my spirit. And then that life and that power, if I give my heart in abundance, because Jesus said, from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if I get that in abundance, then that will come to my mouth. And going back to Proverbs, that puts the power and the life of God on my tongue. Amen. See, the problem is we have more of the world thoughts and ways in our heart than we do the thoughts and the ways of God. And that's why we come to church and we listen to teachings and we listen, read books of Christian teachings. It's because we want to get more and more of God's thoughts and his ways and his plans in our heart. And as that increases through our life gets better and better and better. The Bible says it this way. We go from glory to glory to glory to glory. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we need to see God's word as living and powerful. And the thing that helps me so much is that we see here how the word works. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Why would you describe our words that way? Well, describe a sword. A sword can be something. I can use my sword to cut up my meal, right? I use my sword to protect myself, right? And I can use a sword to play games. Me and Brother Frank can throw swords at a dartboard or something. So God's word is piercing. Now that's what's important to you and me, is that words will pierce our enemy. Because words are not natural, words are spiritual. Because words were not birthed from mankind, they were birthed from their creator, God the Father. He created the vehicle of words. He created words to carry power of life. He created words to carry power of death. He did not create the death. That death came in by what? Satan telling and deceiving Adam and Eve, and they received the curse, and death and sin and brought that into the earth. So then Jesus came here and he brought the power of the life back into the earth that gives us a choice to choose life, choose Jesus, and choose what? Blessings. So we see there that the words are our protection. They will build a hedge around our life, and they're we pick up the sword of the Spirit, which you know is the Word of God, and we can defeat our enemy. Why? Because our sword is greater than our enemy. God's Word will push him back. God's Word will hurt him. God's Word will destroy his plans and his strategies. Amen. So let's go forward, honey. Oh, that's good. This is Jesus talking. We should have put that in red. Sometimes I remember and do it, and I forgot to do it. It is the Spirit who gives life. Now watch it. So the Spirit gives life. So if you want to become more like Jesus, does it come from the flesh, the natural man, or does it come from the spirit realm? See that? Look at the flesh promises nothing. So for me to go to glory, my flesh cannot do it. My flesh cannot move me places in the kingdom of God. It cannot increase my knowledge in God. It cannot increase my wisdom in God. Only the things from the Spirit. Well, thank God we were sealed with the Holy Spirit and given a book of the words which are spirit and life. The Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Bible. The words which I speak to you are what? In life. So that's why I say I took my heart and I placed it on her. And because of her love for me, she's not mad at me. She's proceeded and it blessed her. Now, that process was given to me by God the Father. So what does he want to do? I love you, Paul. I love you, son. So many people miss that. And that's a father and son that's been given to you from God the Father so he can bless you. I said, Father, I love you so much and you love me so much. Will you leave me down here in this mess? He said, son, I would love to have you up here. But I need you down here for the lost. You're the only one. My kids are the only ones that can bring the gospel, which is my power for the lost salvation. So what Satan doesn't want us to bring the power of God to the lost, to the dead and sin and trespasses, he don't want that. So he gets us busy working on things in this natural realm. The prophet's nothing. I don't care if you have a $10 million home. It's going to be ashes pretty soon. Because God's going to burn everything up on this planet. Amen. Everything. He's going to burn it all. Amen. And create a new one for us to live on. Amen? So it's good to have a nice home and everything. But remember, our major assignment, our major appointment is to bring the gospel to the lost. Sometimes it's your neighbor. Sometimes it's your friend. Sometimes it's a family friend. Sometimes it's someone at work or at the doctor's office or at the hospital or at Walmart or at Albertsons or at Kroger's. Anywhere we're going, God is praying somebody for us to talk to about Jesus. Amen? Amen? Okay, let's go to Romans, honey. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? So we ought to see the gospel as God's power. Amen? Now, notice this morning, God's word emphasizes it's a spirit, you know, it's spiritual. It's life and it's power. So that means if you realize that in your life and you take that as a responsibility for God to teach you more, hey, we got the greatest teacher, the Holy Spirit. There's nobody better than him. And not only that, he knows you so well, he can present the gospel in a way you can understand it. He don't present it to that my way. And sometimes that bothers me because some teacher who teaches the word try to force you to learn in some way. No, you got to let the Holy Spirit teach you because he knows you. Amen? It says, no man knows the heart of another man. So it's pretty obvious. I don't know you, right? But the Holy Spirit does. So I do my job and he does his and you do yours. And everybody learns more about who they are in God, right? Are you excited yet? Look at this. What? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Now, that word salvation is soteria, which means health, wholeness, and like protection, like a hedge being around you. Okay, so that means it's the power of God to health, the word. And we know in Proverbs it says something that the word is what life to your health. You know, it's funny, God, this was years ago, he picked at me. He says, John, you can see that pill as health to your body, but when you look at the Bible and you look at my word, you say, oh, I got to read. I said, I repent. He said, you should look at my word as it is health, not only to your body, but to your soul. And then I realized God's word will comfort my mind, bring peace to my mind. It will bring answer to my mind. I used to get frustrated because I didn't have the answer to the problem. I'm a man. I should have the answer. I get mad. And then God showed me, it don't do you no good to get mad, John. Did it bring the answer? I said, no. He said, if you study and pray, you'll get the answer. Salvation for everyone who what? Every one of you are believers. You believe. So you can have the answers to your life. Amen. And somebody, it bothers me when somebody times a church presents like, God's got plans for you, but you cannot know. Oh, they're so holy. Do you realize how stupid that is? I mean, really. God went to all the trouble before creation to write down day by day by day plans for your life and then want to hide them from you. How can you live them if he hides them from you? And then turn around and judge you for them. That's not right to judge you based on something that has not been presented to you. Right? He judged you for something you did not have. So he said, I'll fix that. I'll put them all in a book. And he did. The Bible. Amen. Which is the keys to the kingdom of heaven so you can find out what's in your book in heaven. See, he didn't put everything in the Bible so you about your life. Because he didn't want anybody to have access to it but his angels, you, and him. But he gave you the keys to the kingdom of heaven so you can access it and find out what's in that book for you. Amen. Amen? You have the Spirit of God who knows everything was written in that book and he can unfold those revelations to you as you progress in your walk with Jesus Christ. You excited here, baby? If faith comes by what? He didn't say that. Read it again. That's it. See, somebody, well, I heard that God. No. But friends, what does that insinuate? It comes by hearing and hearing. So that means that why people don't understand like they should. They read the Bible Sunday morning before they come to church. Sunday morning, what happened in between there? There was no hearing. Why it doesn't come in their life? Monday morning, I hear. Tuesday morning, I hear. What? Wednesday morning, I hear. Thursday morning, I hear. Well, I don't have time. You have an enemy that loves for you not to have time for the things of God. I didn't get to my word to Friday night at 1:30 in the morning. Well, actually, it was Saturday, but it's Friday night. Right? But my point is sometimes you have to make extra effort. And of course, your body's going, my body's saying, I'm tired. Shut up. I'm a little bit hard on my body. But because I said, hey, I knew who kept me all busy all day long. Everybody's saying, do this, do that, do that, do that, do that. We need to do that, we need to do that. I usually get real upset about it. They're stealing. I know they're stealing. And I feel like telling them, forget you. But then you made some bridges you couldn't undo. Right? People upset. Think he's stuck up. Think he's better than me. All that kind of. So I didn't put the pressure on them. I went and went through that and said, Lord, as soon as you can, end this stuff. And so it was 1:30 in the morning. But still made sure I did it. I'm not going to jump. I'm saying, I understand you face issues in life, is what I'm saying. Amen? Because I have to myself. Okay, so now we're commanded to live by faith. So if you don't have a life where you're hearing the word through reading or through seeing or through somebody else reading, amen, then you won't have a heart full of faith. Amen. So how can you live a life correctly if you don't have the right source? Your heart is full of the faith. Words go to your mouth. You speak those words throughout the day, and they bring back to you the fruit of those words. Was a life of peace, a life of wisdom, a life of joy, a life of gladness, a life of knowing Him and having His presence. Okay, let's go forward. We're talking about your salvation right here. This is how you got saved. For by grace you have been saved. So the first part, we realize that we did not earn salvation. We do not earn anything from God. It's a gift to us. So if it's a gift, it's by grace. God's grace, God's love gave us salvation. In salvation is His presence. In salvation is being born again, a new creation, and in His family, in His kingdom, and we have received our inheritance as a child of God. And we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God in our lives. Amen. And we get to live with Jesus for eternity. Yeah. Does that make you happy? I don't have to live with a Hitler or a Khrushchev forever. I get to live with Jesus forever. That by grace you have been saved through faith. So grace gave it to you, but it came to your life through faith. Now faith, did I put that in there? Yes, I did. We'll get to how faith works. Faith is the door that grace came through. Grace came from God the Father in heaven, and it came through the door from heaven to earth into your life, into you, and came into you eternally, and you got born again in the Spirit. Amen? You got a new spirit. You're a new man, new creation. Old things have passed away. Now, our mind is still there, and it has to be renewed. Our physical body is the same, so it has to be healed and ministered to by the Word. Amen? Okay, now, notice it said that, and it's not of yourself. So it's not anything you thought of or could think of, right? And not anything you did in your life that got this salvation. God came to you and approach you. It'd be like a billionaire coming to you and say, Fred, I don't like you. I don't like the way you wear your hair, your clothes, don't like nothing, but I just like you. No. I'm kind of confused. Yeah. I give you $5 million. I've got a book over here that tells you how to use it, and it'll make more, not only double, not only triple, but quadruple, if you follow that book. And see, God gave us by grace. Fred didn't earn anything, and I did not make a requirement that he had to follow my rules so he could multiply it. But I suggested that he did follow the book and the rules, and it would quadruple. And that's what God did. He gave you the gift by grace. He gave you the gift of salvation, and gave you a book to increase it. Devil don't want you to increase salvation in your life. So he causes all this confusion, all these issues, all these problems to keep you from studying the Word, so you can learn how to operate the gift that God gave you and operate in the kingdom of God. Because you're born of that kingdom, and you have to learn the rules, amen? And learn how to operate the rules of the kingdom. And if you do, woo! Let me help you out. What did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God. So it's a gift to me. Why? Because God didn't want me to boast. Look how great of a Christian I am. Someday, Fred, you can be good to me. I can't boast. I cannot boast. This week, I got 2 revelations. Wow! I'm not the end of them yet. That's so good. What did I do to get them? It's grace. God is no respecter of person. You're only limited to what you're willing to open that door of faith. Because that opens the avenue between you and God. The door of faith. Amen. Let's go to the next one. Since we have the same spirit of faith. So faith is a spiritual, what do we use? Option? It is an option. Let's see how it works. According to what is written, I believe and therefore spoke. So this person is taking what God wrote down in his book, and he or she is believing it and speaking it. Okay? We also believe and therefore speak. So we're created to speak what we believe. I mean, you think about all things people say, well, I don't believe that. This is what I believe. And they're telling you what they believe until you get pressure on them and they forget what they believe. How do I know I have faith like for healing? It does not matter. My flesh does not profit. I'm hurting. My elbow's hurting. My body's reporting to me that something causing my elbow to hurt. Now, I got a choice to operate in the natural, or I got a choice to operate in the spirit. Amen. Now, I can take a pill and the pain will subside. Next Monday, my elbow's hurting. Friday, my elbow's hurting. Or I can take the word and spend the time. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed, and work with the Holy Spirit and get that in my heart and let it come to my mouth, because my heart's full of what Jesus had done. By his stripes, I'm healed. And then speak health, healing to my elbow, and God fixes my elbow, and I don't have problems from now on. To me, it's worth going through the effort of studying and the Holy Spirit showing me. And sometimes he'll say, well, it's because you do this is the reason your body is hurting. I said, well, how do I fix that? We have to give up this. Naturally, this is hurting your body. And I found out what was hurting my body doesn't bother Brother Fred a bit. So I can't say, everybody has to give up coffee because some people, coffee doesn't affect their body. But man, it was rough on mine. See what I mean? Example. So each one of you has to seek God and find out. And, oh, honey, it's time for you to come and talk.